Okay, we're starting parakeet test. The beer meets us like Hasidus. Let's read a little bit, and then we'll, as usual, then we'll talk a little bit outside. Midas haChasidus tzricha hi be'emes labir gadol. The midah of Chasidus needs a big explanation. Ki minhagim rabim, there are many customs. Udrachim rabim, in many ways. Oivrim bein rabim ibnei ha'adam b'shem Chasidus, that pass amongst many people under the guise of Chasidus, called Chasidus. Ve'einam elo golnei Chasidus, and there really are only forms of Chasidus. Forms, not meaning a form of Chasidus, meaning they're just a shell of Chasidus. It's not real Chasidus, it's just like an outer shell that's called Chasidus. Beli toyar, without clear, without description, without definition. Ubeli tzura, without form. Ubeli tikkun, without being perfected. V'nimshach zeh, and this is drawn, this comes, mechesrein ha'iyun v'ha'askolo ha'amitis, asher l'bali ha'amitis ha'im, from the lack of iyun and true understanding of the people who have those midas. People have a immature or incorrect understanding of what the midah of chasidus is, that when they try to be chasidim, they're not able to do properly. Ki lo torchu v'lo nisyagu lo das es derech Hashem. They didn't work hard, they weren't matriach themselves, they didn't toil to know the derech of Hashem. The idea brura v'yishar, with a clear and straight idea. Ela hischasdu, they made themselves chasidim, v'holchu b'mashen izdamin lohem l'fi hasvara harishayna. And they went with what came their way in their first svara that hit them. Well, this is a good thing to do, this is a nice thing to do. And they didn't look deeply into the inyan. And they didn't weigh them with the weight of chachma. These people have spoiled the smell of chasidus in the eyes of most people who look at chasidus as ridiculous. Even intelligent people they hear chasidus, they get very nervous. It sounds like something that they don't want to have any part of. Ba'asher kvar yachshu, because they already think shachasidus tali b'divrei hevel. The chasidus depends on nothingness. Aidvarim neged haseichel, things that are against the seichel, v'adeya hanachayim, proper deya. V'ya'aminu, and they believe heyois kol chasidus tali rak ba'amiras ba'koshes rabbis. And they think that chasidus depends just on saying a lot of bakashos and saying a lot of vidui, ubebechiyos and crying a lot, v'shtachavoyos gedolos and big bowing down, ubesigufim hazorim, and with strange hurting oneself, torturing oneself, sheyomes bohem odem estafsu, that a person kills himself, kitvilos hakerach v'hashelag, like those who went to tevel in ice and snow, and such forms of chasidus. And they didn't know. Even though some of these things are necessary for someone who's doing tshuva from averus, and some of them ruuyim laprushim, are roy for someone who's being oisik and precious, not on these is the chasidus based. Rather, the very best of these minhagim is something that's good if it comes together with chasidus, but that's not chasidus. It's an amazing thing that times have changed, and the mishalim that he gives have certainly changed, but the problem remains the same. In those days, people when it's Oyrin Ruchnius, they didn't have the depth to understand what Chasidus, what being serving Hashem Lefnim Yishur HaSadin was all about. So they thought that serving Hashem Lefnim Yishur HaSadin was about rolling in the snow, was about a lot of fast days, was about saying a lot of Tehillim, It's things like that. Be mitzari yourself. That's how they understood what chassidus is. Today we don't have that problem. We don't have people. I mean, generally, I remember one time in Camp Morris, one time there was a guy, we had to ask a Rebbe to go please tell him that he shouldn't also fast on Asara B'Av. He was fasting for almost 36 hours or something. You know, he was maybe a leftover of those days and mistaken what Chassidus is. But generally, we don't find it. We don't have any problem with not fasting and not being misagif to ourselves, not torturing ourselves. That's not how he saw it. But the problem that he's describing is a problem that we have very, very, very strongly today. And that is that we're shitkiistic of people. We're people that just look at the surface. We don't see deeply. We don't see deeply, and we don't understand that things have depth to them. But what's going on over here, the Basil Shishon was talking about, just try to picture what was happening. You had a person, we'll see what chassidus is, we'll see next time. But you had a person who was a chassid. That means he knew how to serve Hashem with Timishur Sadin. And that means that he already did Zrizos and Zahiros and Nikios and Prishos and Tahara. He already did all those Madregas. So he's a very deep person. He's a very deep Oved Hashem. He's a very intelligent person. He's a very good Tfisa of his Midas. And then he brought it up to the higher level, even to Chassidus. And there's a lot of depth in there, very, very complex. And one of the things that he did was maybe that he fasted. It was one of the byproducts of him being a chassid, of him distancing himself from this world, is that he fasted. And he would, or he wasn't Isaac and Gashmi so much. And he would come to shul, and the people around him, they would look at him, and he's a chassid. And they'd say, what's a chassid? So they would look, and they see, he doesn't eat. Ah, so a chassid is someone who doesn't eat. Mashal ma davar daima. Let's say you would see, you would walk into a yeshiva and you would see a Rosh Yeshiva. A very tall, inspiring looking Rosh Yeshiva with a long beard and a long frock. And he would walk around, everyone would stand up for him. And when he would speak, it would be very quiet, and he would speak loud and energetically. And he would really, you know, he would move everyone. And you would be watching him for a couple of days. And you would see them saying, what does it take to become a Rosh Yeshiva? You have to grow a long beard. You have to be able to scream loud. You have to buy a frack. You have to find out a way to buy one. You have to buy one. And then you could also be a Rosh Yeshiva. It's not so hard. Not so hard. Anytime you do that, you go to the store. You find a store somewhere in Borough Park or Williamsburg that sells fracks. And you buy a very wide hat. And you grow a beard very, very, very long. And maybe you grow a nice long pace. And you get together a bunch of people, you say, I'm going to be a Rosh Hashiva, and now you're a Rosh Hashiva. And it comes time for the first shiur, and you sit down, suddenly you realize, 1 second, you don't know what to say. Because you don't know how to learn. Because you're missing the whole core of what it means to be a Rosh Hashiva. You got the outside, you got the outer shell of what it means. What about the inside? What about all the yegiya satira? What about all the sensitivity? What about all the tikkun amidas that's necessary for someone to be a successful Rosh Hashiva? That you don't have. So you imitated the outer shell. Why? Because that's what you saw. Or you see a soldier, someone, a decorated veteran. Someone comes, they come all the time, they come back to Connecticut, they were in Iraq. A decorated veteran. He was a commando in Iraq. He comes and he's wearing all his medals and you see, what does it take? I want to also be a decorated soldier. Let me see what it takes to be a decorated soldier. And you look at him and you see he's wearing a very sharp uniform when he gets his medals. And he's holding a gun, a rifle, whatever it is. And he acts a certain way and he talks a certain way. That's not so hard. I could also get myself a uniform. And I'll also get myself a gun. And I'll also act a certain way and talk a certain way. I'm looking at what he has, and I'm doing the same thing. Yeah, but you don't have the training. You don't have the training. You don't have the years and years of work, of training, of learning all the tactics, of understanding warfare. And if you dare throw yourself into a battle now, you'll be in a lot of trouble. That's what happened in the days of the Mesillas Yesharim. People would look at Hasidim. They would see someone who's not into Gashmias, who doesn't eat, or who's misagave himself, or he says a lot of Tehillim. And he was a real Hasid. But the Pnimius wasn't an open book. All the depth that goes into it, all the behind, all the geschmack, you know, a lot of times we see someone who's serving Hashem without being involved in Gashmias, we feel bad for him. Look how he lives, never, doesn't have any Gashmias, he doesn't eat like a mensch, he doesn't live like a mensch. And we don't realize, no, one second, we don't see this, all the inner worlds we don't see. The inner worlds of geschmack, of Yigi and Taira, of Kurva to Hashem, all of that we don't see. We just see the outer shell of how he lives, the outer shell. It reminds me, I think I've mentioned this before, I once read that they once asked Rabbi Chanan how it is that in the entire world, everyone is in awe of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was alive. Even when he was alive, it was Shmai Ha'ilech V'Saifa Ha'ilech V'Yad Saifa. Everyone heard of the Chafetz Chaim, and everyone would shake from the name Chafetz Chaim. There was one place where the Chafetz Chaim would not get respect, and that was Radin. In his hometown, believe it or not, he wouldn't get as much respect. He didn't get as much respect. Rabbi Chanan said it's daima to a lamp. If you put a lamp on a table, so the light shines out, but right under the lamp, it's dark. That's what he said, but it doesn't answer the kasha. Why is it that in Radin themselves, they didn't have that respect? And I'll tell you the answer. The answer is because they were distracted by the outer shell. They saw a short man that got up in the morning. Maybe he had a cold sometimes, so he would be coming to shul sneezing. Or maybe sometimes he was tired, so he would look half asleep. Or maybe sometimes he was old and he would walk slowly. And maybe sometimes he got himself dirty while he was walking to yeshiva. And all the things that maybe sometimes he had a pimple on his face and it looked terrible. You know, all these things, they're a distraction from the Chafetz Chaim. Sometimes if anybody's had the opportunity, sometimes you could spend time with an Adam Gadol, the Chitzonius is a distraction from the Pnimius that's there. So when they went around, they saw an old man. The first thing they saw was an old man. And then when they looked deeper, they saw the one who finished being Mechaber, the incredible Svarim of Mishneh Berurah, and who revolutionized the world with the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and wrote hundreds of tshuvas, and was Mechazik Yidden around the world, and there's all kinds of stories about him communicating with Malachim, and Chalaimus, and Madregas, and there's rumors that his godless entire was way, way, way beyond anything that we could see in any of his Svarim. It was all anivas the way he wrote his Sfarim, and there was tons more godless in Torah. All of that was afterwards. But the first thing they saw was an 85-year-old man. An old man. Maybe he was hunched over. Maybe he didn't have nice clothing. Definitely wasn't the latest styles. He saw an old man. Not so impressive. So that's what happened to Chassidus also. They would see this Chassid. What's the Chassid? I don't know. He fasts. That's how you're a Chassid. With different mishalim and with different types of examples and situations, we have exactly the same problem today. Exactly the same problem. That we meet Talmidei Chacham, we meet big people, and we judge what we see. Without realizing how much pnimius, how many worlds of pnimius could be lying underneath every single thing that a tzaddik does. People judge Talmidei Chacham and Tzaddikim if they see them do something, they right away judge them. I don't hold of this so much, I hold of this. So this one is bigger than that one. All these types of silly things. Debbie, were we talking about forcing a certain Rebbe to dance by Chasa? Was that you I was talking about? Without saying the Rebbe's name, could you remind me what we were talking about? I think that's a good example. Isn't that a good mashal? What we're talking about? I think it started because we were talking about a certain Rebbe in this yeshiva that you all know, that really he's mesameh chasan ekala. That he has an act in front of a chasan ekala. He's really mesameh chasan ekala. And it's and for this Rebbe, they say, I never discussed it with him, but they say that it's a good midas on his part. It's his way, to a certain extent, that he takes the mitzvah of being mesameh chasan ekala, and he sacrifices his kavod for it. Somebody told me, I don't know if they know this for a fact, but somebody told me that he doesn't even like doing it. Right? Is that right? He said that he doesn't even like doing it. That's what he said. He doesn't like doing it. It's embarrassing. It's partially embarrassing. But he does it to be misgagra on his midas. So we were talking about another Rebbe who doesn't bechlal like dancing at all. And I don't remember if it was by a chasen, but it was around the tkufa that there were some chasenes. We were talking about pushing him into the middle to make him dance. Because it's bad midas. See, what are you, your own gaiva and kavod? You're being oimed on your own gaiva and kavod. Stop being such a bald gaiva. Just go. You make a fool out of yourself. So what? You have a mitzvah to do. Stop worrying about your kavod. That's what we were deciding to do. That's a perfect example. There's a few different types of examples. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them tonight. But that's a perfect example of the small-mindedness of today's generation. We hear a certain midah taiva that a certain Rebbe has. And it's a very beautiful midah. And we're so shallow that as soon as we hear that, that becomes the right midah. And there can't possibly be anybody who has a cheshbon to do something that his avodas Hashem is to do exactly the opposite. Because we're in a world of chitzonius. And what people do on the chitzon, that's what's important. And the fact that maybe the way two talmidei chachamim are built from the shayrish is completely different. What each one is working on is completely different. The way each one feels about themselves is completely different. What each one's role in a yeshiva is completely different. How could you possibly start making judgments and comparisons between two people that we should get into our chutzpahdik minds the idea that we're going to teach our Rebbe good midas? It's a pella. The katnas adas is a pella. It's a shocking katnas adas. It's shocking. Is it possible that there are rabbeim that are bali gaiva? I'm sure it's possible. Is it possible that there are people who don't dance for the wrong reasons? I'm sure it's possible. But I'm also sure that there are many people that don't dance for good reasons. Because it's not the chitzonius. We live in a generation that's so into how things are packaged that we forget that they're supposed to be packaging something. And even if this maybe looks like the more godless stick away. You know, I'm not saying Chas V'Shalom, this Rebbe that's mevaz himself, Rav, is a tzaddik yisoid olam. But I could imagine, I think I mentioned this then, we were having that discussion, I could imagine that could be the worst thing for gaiva, for someone to do. The worst thing. Because Bishlom Asnamam about gaiva, that's one thing. But what if I tell myself, I'm such an anav that I'm mevaz myself, Barabim? That's, I'm a well-known, famous anav. Everybody knows I'm a vaza myself, Ram, and I work on my midas. Everybody knows that I'm an avardik yid. Geshmak. I really feel good about myself. Is that anivas or gaiva? I'm starting to get confused. We have to stop judging things by the surface. I'm not saying that he's right or wrong. I'm not saying that one's right or wrong. I'm saying that the surface means nothing. We can't tell anything by the surface. Somebody told me, I'm going to switch tracks to drop. Somebody told me 2 years ago. Somebody told me that he's a big Talmud of Rabbi Kalish. And his, I think I mentioned this before also. And his, and I'm also a big Talmud of Rabbi Kalish. And his goal in life, he tries to do everything exactly like Daniel Kajos. He imitates Rabbi Kalish. That is his goal in life. That is what he does. That's what this person told me. So I told him that there's a little bit of a problem with that approach. Because if he was really, really imitating Rabbi Kalish, he has to ask himself, is Rabbi Kalish imitating Rabbi Kalish? Is Rabbi Kalish living his life imitating somebody else? Do you really want to be like him? Do you want to be like the way he acts on the outside? Or do you want to be like his pnimius? It's very easy to imitate somebody's outside. Look deeper inside. Rabbi Kalish is a person who... He's an independent-minded person. He's a unique person. He's different. He doesn't go with the flow. He's walking on a different path. He has his own ideas and his own... With Rabbeim and so on and so forth, he has his own ideas and his own courageous mahalach, how he handles things and how he's mechanech and how he feels about people and how he feels about things. And he's a big person. Don't imitate the way he... Okay, I'm going to give a drink to everyone as soon as they come into their house. That's childish. If you want to be like him, take the chizuk of developing midas the way they're developed inside of him. Looking for the pnimis, and it's not so easy then. Maybe it doesn't take a year. Maybe it takes 10 years. Maybe it takes 20 years to learn. Maybe I shouldn't be exactly like him. Maybe my midas are different. Maybe I should be a little bit different because I have to develop my own courageous, independent approach to things. Maybe that would be the best way to be somebody's chassid. To be not that way. To be not like him. Move a little closer. I don't want to be catching me talking about it. I came out of my house about 2 nights ago, and I'm zeicher to be a neighbor of his. And I was going to my car, and he had just come back from New York. He went, I think 2 days ago, he was in New York. And I said hello, what's he doing? So he told me he went to New York, so he started to tell me that a story that I hold is mamish. Godless. I don't know if he said over to anyone, but he was driving to New York. He had an appointment with a tremendous Talmid Chacham. I don't know who. He had an appointment with a tremendous. His father had arranged for him an appointment with a tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham. What? He told you the story? So the kids. So he was driving in, and he saw a frum family stuck on the side of the road. And he had an appointment with this with Nachum Cohn. I don't know who he is. An appointment with this tzaddik at Talmud Chacham, a rare occasion from Eretz Yisrael, a very rare occasion that his father had arranged an appointment, and he sees a frum couple on the side of the road, a couple with their daughter on the side of the road, and he stopped to help them, and the minutes are ticking by, and his appointment is disappearing, and he stayed with them, 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 and he showed up an hour and a half late to his appointment. Half-flavor fella. How many of us would have been frummer and we would have said, no, I should stop to do chesed, but I have an appointment with a gadol, I have to be there. Unfortunately, hopefully someone else will stop. Isn't that? I think that's the natural reaction. To have the presence of mind, to have the strength of character, to be able to say, I may have an appointment with a gadol, that's very nice. It would be a very wonderful experience, but right now there's someone stuck on the side of the road. I have to help them. And he stayed there, then became an hour and a half late. And when he got there, so his father told this gadol that he always has einsim like this. He was like making a joke. Yeah, he always has these einsim. He showed up an hour and a half late. So he told me that this tzaddik kissed him on his face, gave him a kiss, and said, no, he's not. It's not that he's not mesuder. This is his seder. That's what he said. That's the story that he told me 2 nights ago. I came back in, I told my wife, his mamish, this is, that's such, I don't know if you can appreciate how much godless the story is. But the way to learn from something like that is not to decide from now on, even if I have an appointment with a tzaddik, I'm going to stop on the side of the road when I see somebody. That's not the limud from the story. That's chitzonius. The limud from the story is to think, to be mizbeinen, to be a little bit more mature, and to think about the value system that's churning inside of him, that makes him be able to leave go of something that would destroy, massage his ego a lot more than helping someone call AAA in order to do chesed. Something more pnimi, something that I can extend to other areas in life. Not just to look at the surface. We do this too much. They say, that someone reminded me of the story, Shmuel Zand reminded me, he was listening to a CD, and he reminded me of a story that I said on the CD. I'd forgotten the story, but they say that there was once a Babchen, I think it was with the Satmar Rav. They said there was once a Babchen imitating the Satmar Rav. And he was doing Mamash an amazing job. He Mamash exactly like the Satmar Rav. So, and afterwards he saw the Satmar Rav crying. So he said, what did I do? Did I hurt your feelings? Of that? You know, that's my job, whatever. He said, no, you did a perfect job. You did such a perfect job imitating me that I started to wonder if sometimes I'm also just imitating myself. And there's tremendous depth to that story. But the point is that we get caught up in the chitzaynius. We look at things in a surface way. We appreciate things only in a surface way, whether it's about ourselves, whether it's about our people, whether it's other people, what we learn from, how we compare God. This gadol, he's a little bit more of the cheerful type. This gadol, we know what a gadol is. We know the godless, the amkus, the pnimius, the worlds, the history, the nesiyanis, the mishpacha, the chinuch that behind every gadol. We don't have a tfisa of what a gadol is. And we used to be, and you've all heard it. People sit around and they pass it on people. This one is like this. This one was frowning. I wonder why he was frowning. And this one, you know, we have to bring up our level a little bit. At least if we can't see the pnimius, at least not to get caught up in the chitzaynius. This pnimius in the world. We're going to learn about chassidus now. But the first warning that the Mesillas Yesharim gives us is: don't get caught up in what it looks like on the surface. You have to look beneath the surface.